Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Text for our meditation is from Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, and we'll be taking a look at that for a few weeks now through the first part of July. And this morning, our text comes from chapter 4, verse 13, through the end of that chapter, and then the first verse of chapter 5, chapter 5, verse 1. And I'm going to share with you verses 15 and 16 of that text again. Encourage you to have the words in front of you. Share a slightly different translation than the one in the bulletin. But Paul said, "For all things are on account of you." He's talking about the life that he was living, the life of his companions. All things are on account of you, the Corinthians, in order that the grace may superabound to the superabounding thanksgiving that is overflowing for the glory of God. Therefore, we do not lose heart, but even if our outward person is being destroyed, yet our inward person is being made new day by day. In the name of Jesus Christ, dear friends. I think all of us can point to a day in our life where we've experienced a tremendous amount of pain. It could be emotional, physical, however that might go. As I was thinking about a day that I experienced a lot of pain, it reminded me of a time when I was back at the seminary. I was working on the dairy farm, and on Saturday, I was climbing up into the bin where the soybeans were stored up in the top of one of the barns, and as I was crawling over the beam, my thumb slid across the wooden beam that was up there, and a big sliver went underneath my thumbnail and broke off. So, as was true to form with the farmer that I worked, there was no stopping for something like that, so just worked all day long. And the longer the day went, the sorer my thumb was getting. By the next morning, my thumb was throbbing. Every beat of my heart, no one would have to guess about my pulse. I could tell them just by how my thumb felt. And went to church that morning out in Woodburn, Indiana, where I was serving. And pastor was preaching, and I had no idea what he was preaching about. Kind of like most of you on a given Sunday morning, have no idea what the sermon was about. But I had no idea. The only thing I could think about was that thumb. And it was driving back to the seminary and got into my dorm room, and I became desperate, and I opened the drawer of my desk, and I pulled out a razor blade. No, I didn't slip my wrist. I pulled out a razor blade, and I cut a groove in that thumbnail so I could get that splinter out of there. I wouldn't recommend that. It's probably not the most hygienic thing to do, but it solved the problem. The point being, that little, tiny, little splinter, probably an eighth of an inch wide, maybe less than a half an inch long, that little tiny sliver could take over all of my attention about everything, the pain that was causing. It was only one little part of my body, my thumb. The rest of my body was okay, but my thumb hurt, but I couldn't think about anything else. And because of that perspective, that perception about life, that the only thing that mattered was that pain in my thumb at that moment, then everything else disappeared. You could have tried to have a conversation with me that day, and I wouldn't have participated because of my thumb. Now, that should sound kind of familiar to most of us. Because while I hope that you have never had that kind of splinter under your thumbnail, you all have had a splinter under your thumbnail in some type or form of or another. Because we all have things that go wrong in our life. It could be illness. It could be a time of grief. It could be when someone has just ticked us off and treated us poorly. It could be when we have failed and fallen down on our face in life through miserable failure and even sin. In those moments when we are feeling the pain from those things, from whatever dysfunction we can identify in our lives, all we can think about is that pain, and everything else disappears in our life. As disciples, that means that we forget about our calling. God has left us here on this earth to be those who take the gospel and reach to those who have not yet heard so that they might believe for salvation. That's why we're here. But if I'm all consumed about that pain in my thumb, whatever that thumb might be, if I'm consumed by that, everything else disappears and I quit functioning as a disciple of the Lord. At those moments, then all I can focus on is feeling angry, getting revenge, feeling the hurt in my heart, feeling the pain in my body, feeling all self-sorry because life shouldn't be this way for me because I deserve better. And we forget altogether why the Lord has left us on this planet. In our text for today, Paul was sharing an intimate view with the Corinthians about his personal life and all of the sore thumbs that he had experienced in that life. But he also connected with all of those challenges his view, his worldview, his life view of how he saw life and how that vision of life was what enabled him to keep propelling forward no matter how much difficulty he faced. If we'd read through the whole chapter, and if you have a Bible handy, you can look it up. You can look it up later in the day as well. In earlier verses in 2 Corinthians 4, right before where we read this morning, in verses 8 to 10, Paul described his life this way. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. We are perplexed, but not despairing. We are persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, but not destroyed. We are always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus. Think about describing your life that way. I am always carrying about in my body the dying of Jesus. Nobody would want to come over to your house for a party if that's how you talk, right? We are always carrying about in the body the dying of Jesus so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our body. Doesn't sound very positive, does it? And there's no way that Paul could craft a nice press release to the world and say, look at my wonderful life I'm living. Because that would be a lie. He'd be a hypocrite. The reality of Paul's life was that he was afflicted, crushed, perplexed, persecuted, struck down, and always carrying about in his body the death of Jesus. There's no way to put a spin on that. This is not one of those times where he can say, well, if you just have a good attitude, all those things disappear. Because they wouldn't. Tell Paul that a good attitude was going to make it that stones didn't hurt while somebody was trying to stone him to death. That would hurt. And so did all the other things that were going on in his life. Paul's life was full of burdens and wounds, and he accepted all of those willingly, so that he might be in the right spot, doing the right thing, sharing the words of the gospel with those whom God had prepared through the Spirit so that the church would grow. That was Paul's life. But what did Paul have in order to keep propelling him forward as he carried that burden in his life? That's found in verse 14. If you have your bulletins or Bibles open, I encourage you to look at those words. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14, Paul says, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus and stand us alongside you. The you there is the Corinthians. Could be us too. Paul could say that I know that the one who raised the Lord Jesus, God the Father, through the power of the Holy Spirit, the one who raised the Lord Jesus will also raise us with Jesus, and he's going to stand all of us together alongside of each other in the glory of the resurrection. The sin-sick world that we live in takes a toll. Our Old Testament reading from Genesis 3 sort of picks up at that point. It ends before God has, that reading ended before it talked about the toll that it would take on a woman of pain in childbirth and her desiring her husband, but he's just going to want to rule over her. and the pain of Adam, of toiling and hard work and thorns and thistles growing and ultimately death. Yes, we feel those painful tolls of sin in our life. The scars of sin are all over us. We know what that hurt of sin looks like. We feel it. We experience it because sin is in our mortal bodies. Everything that is bothering you at this moment is a scar of sin. Everything that is distracting you this morning from being able to concentrate on God's word is a scar of that same sin. But we are here this morning because we celebrate that Christ Jesus has set us free from that sin through his death on the cross. And he has given us victory through his resurrection. God's plan for us includes that resurrection when he raises up our bodies even after physical death on earth so that he might present us before himself as the glorified, perfected people that he has desired for us to be all along. Presenting us to himself in the perfect way, the pristine way that is fitting for those who are called children of God. If we consider all things considered is the theme of the sermon this morning. If we consider all these things, think about everything that God is working out and where the finish line is and how it all completes in our life. I didn't say end, how it completes in our life. Then we understand there's no way I'm going to let this day and its problems define who I am or how I look at life because I know to what God is leading me. And as a result, we won't be destroyed on the inside. So Paul says in verse 16 of our text, therefore we do not lose heart. Therefore, what's the therefore? Because I know of the resurrection, therefore we do not lose heart. And then he gives the admission, even if, and it happens a lot, even if our outward body is being destroyed, yet our inward person is being renewed day by day. We're being made new day by day by God's Spirit. How does that happen? It happens in God's Word, where God speaks his forgiveness into our life. It'll happen in a few moments for us as we gather at the great dining table of the Lord at his altar and feast on the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ in expectant hope of his return. That encouragement of God's Spirit happens when we clearly identify our opportunity to each other to be those who encourage and build each other up rather than to tear each other down. Considering all these things enables us to avoid being trapped by the satanic assault of self-pity. Self-pity is one of those dangerous things. Start feeling sorry for yourself, and all of a sudden, all of life starts caving in. All of a sudden, you don't feel like doing anything for anybody because they don't deserve it. But knowing the prize of the resurrection, we are free to give ourselves completely in service, completely in ministry to one another and to the world, knowing that God has already given us way more than what we could ever hope to give away. So Paul says in verse 15 of our text, for all things are on account of you. Paul could live his life that way for the Corinthians. Even though 1 Corinthians shows how troublesome those Corinthians could be, Paul could say, I'm living my life as if all things are for your sake. They're all on account of you. Absolute devotion to the care and keeping of those Corinthian Christians. He says, all things are on account of you in order that the grace may superabound through the superabounding thanksgiving. I love that when Paul sort of starts repeating himself. You can tell he's so excited as he's writing that the grace of God is going to superabound through the superabounding thanksgiving. He repeats himself there. That is overflowing for the glory of God. as Paul and his companions, missionary companions, were giving themselves fully for those Corinthian Christians, it was resulting in not only the Corinthians, but the whole church in welling up in superabounding thanksgiving, and all of that was celebrating the grace of God, and then all of that ended up giving all glory to God the Father. Ultimately, everything that we do as we care for each other and help each other is all about zooming the focus of this life for its purpose, for the glory of God. Our inheritance in God through Jesus' resurrection frees us so that we can live in abandon to that God-designed purpose that God has given to each one of us to be in mission, to spread the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, even if I have a sore thumb. So what about those days, though, when the world is caving in all around you, when life hurts and you're unhappy and tormented and it feels like you can't even draw another breath because of the pain of that day? Well, we don't have to ignore those things. Don't be the hypocrite that says, well, just laugh a lot and cover it up and nobody else will know. Because we can cry and we can hurt and we can share that with each other. And that'll give us opportunity to pray with and for one another. That'll give us opportunity to reach down and serve each other and help each other when we see the other struggling. This text has taught us today that in the midst of the disruption and destruction that comes as a toll of living out these days here in this dangerous place, that disruption and destruction is not the whole story. We learn to consider all things, and that includes God's resurrection glory plan for us. As Paul pointed at, verse 1, chapter 5, the last verse of our text, that right now we're living in a tent, but he says we have a permanent building from God, not made with hands, eternal, and in the heavens. That's our hope. Now there is our vision, the vision of heaven, that allows us to see the whole picture about life. A picture that helps us to realize then that every day is a win-win situation. Winning as I get to serve people with the gospel. Winning because I'm drawing ever closer to that day when I will be with the Lord in all of that glory. And in the meantime, before I get to that glory, everything is about God working through me to reconcile others to himself through that grace-filled, saving message of Jesus Christ for life. Can I get a little help with the splinter under my thumb? Amen. And now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, may it guard and keep our hearts and our minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.